listening to The Ouachita Chronicles.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Ashley.
So, we are recording this episode the week of Christmas. Now, by the time it actually goes to publish, it's going to be past Christmas, but I'm not going to pass up the chance to say Merry Christmas, podcast listeners.
Yep, that's a thing that people say around this time of year is Merry Christmas.
Jerry has a little bit of a grinchy attitude this Christmas, but that's okay. I have enough spirit for the both of us.
Lord knows I'm going to need to borrow it.
Borry. I like that. The guest that we had in the studio for this episode is someone that I've known for a while, but most of these have been. I know a lot of these people. So
all of them have been everyone you've known for a while.
Well, you know, I got some roots and they go really deep around here.
Which is awesome.
It is. But today's guest has, you know, she got some news that no parent ever wants to receive. So as a parent, you never want to get a diagnosis that there might be something mentally or physically wrong with your child at any stage of development. But our guest received news like that when her son was between the ages of 2 and 3. But she took that news and she really turned it into a blessing. It was a blessing to her family in more ways than one to receive a diagnosis like this. So our guest today is Christy Plunkett. She is the mother to a son with autism, and she has been an autism advocate across our local area, regional, and even across the state. And she came to let us visit with her and share her story of Jake's journey through autism.
It was really impactful, I thought, because she acknowledged so quickly what most people's initial reaction to any type of bad, devastating news is, and that's grief. And she talks a lot about how that process was hard for her to accept. They wanted to reject it. She mentioned several things throughout the episode that I think we've all experienced at some point in our life, whether or not we've had a child with a diagnosis of autism or the loss of a loved one or some type of expectation that was not realized. And so even if you don't have a child with some type of special need, it's still an episode that's very relatable, because what Christy did with that grief was processed it and turned it into something really beautiful that's made it easier for other people who are grieving to go through that process now. And I think anytime you can turn something that's initially perceived as a negative into a positive and push forward with it, that's a really beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. And she's done an amazing job of it, and an amazing job of sharing her story. And like I said, advocating for autism as a whole. So if you have a loved one who suffers from autism, or a family member, or even a friend who is going through this process right now, this is definitely an episode that you want to listen to, because Christy has so much useful information for everyone. Any part of it, any relation that you have to someone with autism or special needs in general, Christy has got some great knowledge to lay on you. So we're not going to wait any longer. Let's meet our guest, Christy Plunkett. Welcome to this episode of the Ouachita Chronicles. I'm your host, Ashley Smith, with my co-host, Jerry. Jerry, say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Jerry. So we've got a very special guest in the studio today. Our guest is Christy Plunkett. And Christy Plunkett is not exactly a MENA native, but she married a MENA native, so that whole translates. We'll take her in as one of our own. But Christy has got an interesting story. She is a special needs parent. She has been very involved in autism awareness and advocacy across the state and the region and locally. And we're here to talk with her today about what all trials, challenges, and joys come out of that type of experience. So let's welcome Christy to the podcast. Welcome, Christy.
Welcome. Thank you, ladies. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I'm very honored.
Good deal. Well, I'm glad to have you. I'm going to give a tiny bit of backstory here that I met Christy when I was 18. I was naughty. I was a bad, bad teenager. I was working at MENA Insurance, so I worked an office job since I was young. And Christy's husband and Christy moved to MENA from Northwest Arkansas, and he was in the process of purchasing the business that I worked at. And so he came on board while I was working there as a teenager. And as I mentioned, I was naughty. I was probably a horrible employee.
No.
PT did not love me. He did not love me. PT, and I've had this conversation, Christy. He did not love me.
We're cool.
We're cool now.
Well, you have matured.
Yes, I would hope so.
I just want to tell the Kenny Chesney concert story, but I won't.
So PT came to purchase the business, and I was working there. And I remember the first time I met Christy. Don't want you to blush or anything, but I was absolutely awed. I saw you as a very graceful, very elegant, very kind person. And you were one of those people that, even though you weren't that much older than me at the time, I really felt like she was someone that you would want to emulate that type of personality. So I was impressed
with Christy from the beginning. We're just going to jump right in, though, basically to where your story starts. Christy has two sons, Drew and Jake, right?
That's correct.
How old is Drew now?
Drew's 22, and he's in his first semester of law school, Ash.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how old we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Jake is 20.
And Jake is 20. Okay, mm-hmm. I was correct on that. So we're going to go right to the heart of this. Jake was 2. Correct?
He was officially diagnosed at 3, but we knew something at really before 2, but you just sort of maybe don't accept it. Well, I don't really know anything about autism, but I thought, okay, he's delayed. Mm-hmm. He's not making the milestones necessarily as fast as his brother. Brother talks for him. Oh, he needs to, you know, you start telling yourself all of these things. And then it was officially at age 3 where he was diagnosed, but we knew before.
Okay. So I know, I mean, a very small amount about autism and the spectrum and the different things, but I know that they've changed a lot since I was first reading on stuff. So what was Jake's official diagnosis?
Well, back then it was just autism. Mm-hmm. I mean, because they also had, they called it Asperger's syndrome back then for the higher functioning ones, like the Bill Gates of the world, mm-hmm. and, you know, the genius people, whatever, the Rain Man. That's all people knew because that's all society talked about. You never saw or heard of the low functioning ones. And so
right. It
was autism or Asperger's. Well, now it's called autism spectrum disorder because clearly the diagnosis is a spectrum, mm-hmm. because they all have different issues.
Okay.
You know, like Jake has clearly social issues, speech, mm-hmm. OT, gut and health. I mean, he has all of it.
A full range.
He does not have physical. He may have low muscle tone, as they say, but when it comes down to a meltdown, or mm-hmm. then he's the strongest person. Jake was always considered nonverbal, which is very interesting, even though he has words. So mm-hmm. most people would say, well, he's not nonverbal. Well, he is clinically nonverbal because of the limit, like he cannot carry on a conversation.
Mm-hmm. But he can respond.
And
express his wants and needs?
Not always.
Okay.
And therefore, that's why we had all of the behavior meltdowns, because when you can't communicate, the only way to get attention or to get your needs addressed, melting down.
Right.
And that would work. And so over time, you know, he has learned to use some words to help, and it has made a huge difference.
Kind of take us through, you know, from the beginning. I mean, that had to be a huge shock, something you weren't prepared for.
Well, it definitely was, because like I said, we knew of Rain Man. Mm-hmm. That's all we knew pretty much about autism. And back then in 2003, there was no early intervention. I was Jake's help because there was nobody around. We had to go to doctors out of state, everywhere. So I just had to research. I was, as PT says, I had the PhD in autism because their services weren't available back then that are now. Mm-hmm. So, but I remember coming back from Children's Hospital, going to the audiologist and thinking that Jake couldn't hear because he would not respond to us because Jake lost words. He was what they called major milestone regression. So we went to the audiologist thinking he's had ear infections. He just can't hear us. He needs tubes. You know, that's, mm-hmm. they said, oh, I remember the lady turning off the mic and saying, I could just tell, like, she was afraid to talk to us. And she said, not only can he is hearing the most minute sounds that we're sending out there. He can hear incredibly well. She was afraid to mention the A word, mm-hmm. but she did. And my friend that worked at Children's Hospital at the time, Christy, she spoke to her like she was our go-to, like, well, how much can I tell them? And my friend Christy said, lay it out. And so she mentioned that, then led us on the path that we needed to go to Dennis Developmental Center and get the evaluation. But I remember driving home that day, and my mom was in the back of the car, and she was trying to prove them wrong, like, Jake, count to 10. Jake, say your colors. And, okay, this is it, you know. So we came home, and I'll never forget. Of course, as a parent, you have this image of your hopes and dreams for your children, whether it's sports or band or academics or whatever. You just have this perfect little family vision, and that gets rewritten in a second. And mm-hmm. so we go home. I remember closing the garage, closing the blinds, and the next day, like, not wanting to talk to anyone. It was my pity party. I was like, oh, what are people going to think? Poor me. Jake knew nothing was wrong. His brother knew nothing was mm-hmm. wrong. And I thought, okay, you know, I've got to get over me. And from that point forward, I was like, this is about Jake. This is not about me. And we're going to help him. And we've never looked back.
There was never a throw your hands up, I can't do this moment.
Well, I did have those moments. I went through some depression. We had some very dark days, but luckily, and you know, working at the office, if I was ever weighed down, mm-hmm. unfortunately those days happen, PT would be the high one. Like,
yeah.
We never were ever down at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've learned after these years that if we're ever high at the same time, like things are going great, we know
mm-hmm.
the other shoe, you know, is about to drop because it's never good all the time.
Somebody needs to slam their finger in a door real quick so I can start having a bad day.
Yeah.
So nothing worse than that
and
happens,
we would
right?
leave those, like when Jake slammed his head through the wall and made a hole, mm-hmm. we wouldn't fix those, or when he would slam the door in the wall. Like, those were our reminders that not just this is our life, because it has been, but those are Jake moments that we've gotten through them. Obviously, we fixed them, you know, when we sold the house, but it's like, this is our reminder that we got to keep going. We got to keep going. But
you can't just put a patch on everything and it disappear. It's there.
And we had to learn that, you know, we put Band-Aids on so many things because sometimes a Band-Aid was what I needed for my psyche.
Just to get through
but
the
then
day
we're like,
week.
You know what? We can't Band-Aid this. We need to get to the root of the problem. And that's when we started going to the specialists in Austin and different places and going to all these conferences all over the country. Like, we cannot stop, you know, but it was so overwhelming. And, you know, you mentioned something like, you say, oh, you have a PhD in autism, or PT will say that. But I know about this much about autism.
Right.
Like, it can just feel like, you know, my pinky. Like, there is so much out there. And there are so many people that know more about it than I do, because there's so much more help and there's so much more knowledge about it and research. And so at the time, I feel like I did the best I could. But then part of me says, you know what? If Jake was born now or even 5 years ago, I think we would see more progress and better results. But I can't go there, because this is what God had planned for us. There are so many days where I think, I failed. I fail as a mom. I fail as a wife. You know, I failed Drew. But then I'm like, wait a minute. At that time, I did the best I could. You know, I feel like I was doing the right thing. And Jake doesn't love me any less. Drew doesn't love me any less. I think Drew's probably a better human for what he has gone through. In some aspects, probably I did. But I think we all do as parents. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that's just being a mom. I also think, I can never die. Like, I'm here. That we are Jake's people.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to take care of him like we do? Who's going to love him like we do? Because he's a special guy. And he's mm-hmm. not for everybody.
Right.
And
right.
we've known that. Through the years, we have, I don't want to say lost friends because that's harsh, but there have been friends that have gone by the wayside. Jake's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that, but he's for us.
Right.
And so I feel like you talked about my health. I'm 50, so I have to make sure that I eat better and work out and sleep, because I have to live forever in my mind as Jake's mom.
At what age did Jake start school?
We started him at 5.
Okay.
Even though he wasn't. Mm-hmm. Ready, you know, developmental delay. We started him at 5 because that's when you start kindergarten. And he started at PCDC, Jump Start,
right.
when he was 3, because we started getting speech and OT and all that. And so he's just transitioned right into kindergarten. We did do kindergarten twice, but then at that point, we just realized he needs to stick with these peers. You know, because even back then, in our heart of hearts, we thought, okay, Jake is delayed 2 or 3 years. If that's all he's ever delayed, that's okay. And so, you know, you just go and go and do. Well, I mean, clearly he never did, but he continued on through high school and graduated, if you will, you know.
So how was your experience with having him in, you know, public school like that?
There were ups and downs for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Did we always have the smooth ride? No.
Mm-hmm.
Were we the best parents to work with? Probably not. We had some rough patches, and there were some people that I feel like probably didn't do their job, if you will, but we tried to be good to deal with. But part of it too for us was we also had Drew in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to do anything to negatively impact him and his experience in school. And so, you know, we thought about that. Then when Jake got in high school and Drew was gone, we thought, you know, we could maybe push a little more or fight a little more. But, you know, I can't imagine not advocating for your kid.
Right.
So
at what point was Jake, or just at what point in that journey, did you start to get involved in advocacy outside of your own family?
Really from the beginning, I had so many people come to me and say, I think my son might be on the spectrum. You know, once you have that in your life, you can spot it in other
right.
kids. And these were actually people that I saw in their child. And it was like, okay, I'm glad you're talking to me about it. But my thing was, you are doing the school a disservice. You're doing your child a disservice if you don't get your kid tested, because there are services out there for him. The teachers can understand more how to deal with him. Your kid over time will be so relieved to know that whatever is going on in their life, there's help. You know, I had lots of people contact me, the doctor's office, Dr. Begel. They would give people my number to call. So there were people that I never even had met before that would call me and ask questions. So I've always been an advocate and tried to help other people because I feel like it's just sort of a community.
Yes.
And I would want someone to help me. And there were people that offered to help me, but you have to be ready to hear it. Like, I had to put numbers on the side for a while, or I had to process it like, okay, I'm ready to hear what this person has to tell me. So I get it if someone doesn't want to talk about it for a while, because you have to digest it.
Well, you had to be honest and open about the situation you were in for people to even be able to, you know, seek you out for advice. You were just so open about it, it seems like, from the very beginning. Yes, you said you had some dark days and everything, but it wasn't something you ever tried to keep hidden that I recall.
At work, I mean, clearly you could see, but right. My friends say I would put on my Lee press-on face. I never wanted to be out in public and be all downy dumps, as Drew used to say, and all poor pitiful me, because we have a great life. Jake is precious. He is the most loving boy. You know, I feel like our lives would have gone down a different path if he didn't have autism, but would that have been a better path?
Right.
So I feel like whatever happened was for a reason, and therefore I don't need to be all woe is me all the time. So I tried not to be. But then my girlfriends would want to talk about it, and then it would turn into tears, and I'm like, whoa, we're not talking about me. Like, let's just be together for dinner or whatever. Let's talk about you, because I appreciate them wanting to know what's going on and caring about me. Sometimes I just want to put it to the side and enjoy the moment. You know, I don't want it to be about me because it's about Jake.
Right, right. Okay. And so let's talk about Jake now. Jake is 20.
Jake is 20.
Jake, as you said, you know, he completed school, and you did the air quotes with graduated, but I mean, he did. He made it through all the years of school.
Completer.
Did you anticipate that he was, you know, going to be living at home with you for the rest of his life or your life?
Well,
or was this had you already started to kind of look into some places where he could flourish?
Yes, because we knew probably 16-ish when he was hormones and turning into a man, aggression. We went through a really hard time with Jake being aggressive towards me.
Okay.
And see, you didn't probably know that. Most people don't know that. Now people do, but it was hard on me because I'm probably the one that he loves the most, but he sought me out the most. But I'm also the one that was with him the most. And it got really, really bad. So we knew this is not the right environment for Jake long term. We wanted to try to make him as independent as possible. And the only way we knew that we could do that was for Jake to be on Medicaid waiver, which would pay for 24-hour care for him. Whether that be in Mena or Fort Smith or Fayetteville or wherever, we knew we needed to seek something out. And so we started doing our research when he was in high school of a place to go, because he had to go to a facility to get on the list to get bumped up on Medicaid waiver, because the list was 11 years long. We knew he had to go to a nursing home or some kind of facility to get him. For some reason, it fast-tracks them on this list. And so we narrowed our scope to an intermediate care facility, which is not a nursing home, but it's not independent living either. And so we visited 7 places all over the state, found this one in Russellville. He went in 88 days. He was bumped up to number 1 on the Medicaid waiver list.
Wow.
So that meant that he could live in a house. He could live with us, but we knew, again, planning for us to die.
Right.
That we needed to transition him to a place.
He needed to not be dependent on you and PTA.
Yes. Where we knew that we needed some forced, and I'm air quoting you again, forced socialization, because he doesn't like to be around a lot of people, but a few people we knew would be good. They were higher functioning. Now he qualifies for 24-hour care. He has 5 caregivers that take care of him, and he has 2 roommates, and he's living in a 4-bedroom house in Russellville.
Okay.
And it's going well. So we knew that was our time frame in high school, that we had to find something like that where he can learn some skills and, you know, help him make his bed, show him how to clean the toilet. And he learned that in high school, his junior and senior year. He would stock the shelves in the cafeteria after breakfast. He'd stock cereal and chips. And he had an aide that would sweep the floors with, and he'd clean tables. So Jake could care less about math, you know.
He needed the basic living skills.
He needed to be able to somewhat function and to have purpose. We knew that Jake likes to please. So something that he could do that served purpose that made him happy, and he was pleasing people. He liked just, you know, knuckles, high five, whatever. Uh-huh. And so for now, he's in, we think, the best place because he's getting the best care. And I go see him every 3-4 days.
Mm-hmm. And I knew you made a lot of trips to see him because, I mean, you guys have got this bond. What does a typical day look like for Jake now at the residential home he's living in?
Well, because he just moved into this house August 1st because he came home at COVID time. Mm-hmm. Because his facility, his intermediate care facility, went on lockdown like nursing homes right. do. And so I'm like, I can't go that long not mm-hmm. seeing him. So we brought him home. Then he moved into this house August 1st. Lived there a month by himself to get adjusted to this whole new place. Mm-hmm. It took a while for us to get his care in place, his staff. And then we transitioned to one roommate, which was an adjustment behavior-wise and everything, because that meant more caregivers than the second roommate. So now Jake's day is not exactly set because mm-hmm. he's not getting therapies right now.
Okay.
There is a, COVID has delayed everything, but there is a new facility that Jake is going to start going to where he can get his speech and OT and behavior living skills that's just centered for autism only.
Okay.
And so right now he just gets up, has his one caregiver, the other two roommates go to a day center, kind of like PCDC here, okay. and they have jobs. And so he is one-on-one while they're gone. He goes for walks, goes for car rides. Really right now it's whatever Jake wants to do. It was supposed to start in December and then he'll get into where he's going there every day. But like every time I go see him, we get up, we go for walks, we hit the park, we do whatever, we go eat, whatever Jake wants to do. But really, the goal is to get him volunteering somewhere okay. at some point, a food pantry, whatever. Mm-hmm. They have their version of a PCDC, their right. resale shop that he can go and sort clothes. So we're trying to work on, hopefully, the first of the year, Jake having a more set routine. But in the beginning, we just said we want him to be comfortable.
Right, right. So this is really a new situation for him right now.
And because, for us, too. Mm-hmm. Sure. You asked me, this is what we've been working for since he was 16.
Well, I've done a little bit of research, and I know that you've served on the board of PCDC. For listeners who are not aware, PCDC is the Polk County Developmental Center. Gosh, it's just a great, great organization. I can't say enough good things about it, but it does provide jobs and therapies and all kinds of things to, you know, I guess our local special needs population. I mean,
they are incredible.
Mm-hmm. They do a lot for the community. You served on the governor's task force for autism.
I did. That was in a tough time for Jake. And so I went to as many meetings as I could. That was during the time they were trying to get the autism bill passed. So I was right on that committee involved mm-hmm. with that before the autism bill was passed.
Okay, well, tell me about that because I need to know about that.
Well, in a nutshell, it was an amount of money that would pay for behavior therapy.
Okay.
Because when we first went through this scenario of paying for behavior therapists, we had to pay out of pocket because it was not considered medically, you know, it's like scientific or whatever.
Right.
Because the people that provide it are board certified behavior analysts, and they just didn't feel like it was scientifically proven kind of thing. You know, not medically necessary maybe, but to the moms in the autism world, that's where we were seeing benefit, you know, Jake improvement along with his speech in OT.
Right.
And so, yeah, the autism bill would provide an amount every year, and we would use our limit. We had a company come from Texas to do training. Well, of course, when they're driving from Texas and all it cost and the hourly, but it was worth it because we were seeing benefit in Jake. But it was hard for us to ever get 40 hours of behavior therapy because nobody wants to come to MENA. And, you know, the state would provide it, but they're out of Little Rock and all of those therapists would want to go Pulaski County and around. And so anytime we would ever over the years try to get people to come to MENA, they would come once or then every other week and then once a month and then not consistent enough. And so there was a time when Jake and I moved for 6 months to Northwest Arkansas where he could get intense therapy there.
So that's an interesting point and one that, I mean, I see as a recurring topic, especially in the episodes we've recorded already mm-hmm. where, you know, people mention this that, well, that wasn't available in MENA, you know, or,
sure.
or we were too far away to really take advantage of the type of services that we needed to take advantage of. And, you know, we love living here. It's a gorgeous place. It's an amazing community. But as I like to say about MENA, we are a geographical anomaly because mm-hmm. we are in a bubble. We are an hour and a half away from anything. In every direction
right.
you go. So do you feel like if you guys had still been living in Northwest Arkansas when Jake had received his diagnosis that, you know, it would have been a better situation? Or do you feel like it was going to play out how it was going to play out?
I think you're, you know, we can't do the what ifs, although mm-hmm. I've done it. Mm-hmm. I have said that too. I was pregnant with Jake when we bought the agency and decided to move here. Like, he was 3 weeks old when we moved to MENA. So we moved to MENA, I think, for a reason, so that I could quit my job, would no longer be traveling, and to focus on just Jake. And I think if we would have stayed in Northwest Arkansas, I don't think that would have been financially an option. So that's kind of the way we look at it. It was meant to be for us to move to MENA. Whether Jake would have been higher functioning or better or whatever, I don't know. But part of me feels like even if Jake never benefited from some of the things that they have available now and more services, I think other people. I feel like, yes, I have fought for other kids too. And I hope that, you know, the ones that come behind Jake will just be better and better. Jake has impacted so many people. The people that have worked with him as aides or therapists, caregivers, babysitters. I could list so many people who have gone into their teacher, special ed teacher, OT speech, you name it, physical therapist, that Jake has had an impact on them. So I give the credit to Jake.
You can hop onto the Friendship Community Care Board that she was just...
I'll talk about that in just a little bit. Yeah. Friendship Community Care is the umbrella organization, and the corporate office is in Russellville, but they have locations all over the state. Mm-hmm. So like the house Jake lives in is called West, but it's part of Friendship Community Care. And they have their day centers. They have, that's where the intermediate care facility is, but they have all kinds of things under the Friendship Community Care umbrella. They're phenomenal. Really, I was kind of surprised they asked me because, you know, PT and I always joke, even when Jake was in school, oh, here come the Plunkets, you know, here they come, whatever. But we were so involved and we were just on it, good, bad, or otherwise. So when they asked me, I was surprised, I'm not going to lie,
right. But
honored too, because clearly I'm not just going to be the yes person. I have the special needs background, but also have a kid in their system, if you will. And so, you know, I was very honored that they asked. COVID has made it to where we don't have in-person meetings, so I feel like I'm not really getting to know people through Zoom. It's a great organization, and I'm proud to be a part of it for sure. And I also want to mention too that we have a local support group.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
We meet at Dallas Avenue the third Tuesday of every month in the activity center that's next to Viviana's old, mm-hmm. you know, dance studio.
Yeah, the Family Center.
The Family Life Center, yes. It's called Base of the Washita.
When I was at the chamber, mm-hmm. and you probably did a story or so on it.
We joined. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
We're members.
Because it's not your sister-in-law?
PT's niece.
PT's niece.
Well, I feel like she's my niece too, but she's, you know, close to my age. But yes, Amanda Posey.
Yes, yes. Okay, I remember.
She's in charge, but like Jennifer Mabry,
mm-hmm.
she works at REH. Let me tell you, she's a phenomenal autism mom. Her son is on the spectrum. He's higher functioning. Drew's amazing,
mm-hmm.
but she's a total advocate. She's a go-getter. And it's not just autism. It is all disabilities.
Right.
And there are ones that come that are 2 years old, and then we have like Kayleanne, our niece. She's 22. Mm-hmm. There are kids older. Like, it's all ages because it's for the families.
Mm-hmm.
It's for not just the special needs, it's for their siblings. And there's always someone there to watch the kids in the gym. They can play. But it's a chance for us like-minded
support
families
group.
To
right.
just go, I'm not crazy. You know, we're in this together, and right. I've gone through this, and you've gone through that, and just to pat each other mm-hmm. and go, we can do this.
Was there anything else that you want to touch on before we do our little fun part of it?
Well, I do want to say, you know, I talked about Jake and Drew, but we talked about PT a little bit. He's the best.
PT is the best.
He's incredible. But I also want to say divorce rate is very high.
Yes, I'm
families
aware of that one.
On the spectrum. Disabilities in general, but of course we're looking at autism. So we have gone through some very, very tough times in our marriage,
mm-hmm.
like year 10 to 11. And it's not us personally, but
the stress. The circumstances mm-hmm.
The
you're
circumstances.
In.
I can't imagine going on this journey without him. I can't imagine being a single mom, period, mm-hmm. but then having a kid with disabilities. And, you know, we have just said, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be one of those statistics. And yeah, he's incredible. I'm so grateful for him.
You know, the big ice storm in, I guess, 2012, you know, you texted, PT called to see if he could come down and help us unload our freezer so we did not lose a massive amount of groceries and have to file a huge insurance claim. And he just said, man, he is a stand-up guy. Warren doesn't admire very many people, and he truly admires PT. So that goes a long way.
When community members help community members, when people are at their best, when they're at their most loving, their most giving, that is what will bring me to my knees and make me feel very emotional very quickly. It's those types of stories that get me. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
To fly.
What's your favorite color?
Red.
Dogs or cats?
Dog.
You don't strike me as a cat person.
We tried because that's the only animal that Jake is not afraid of. So we got a cat. We were both allergic to this cat. No lie, he'd say, oh, eyes, eyes. And I was allergic, but aww. I'm like, if this is what Jake wants, I'm going to do it.
You should get him a hairless cat. If you could have your ultimate dinner party with three people, dead or alive, family members, famous people, historical figures, whoever, who would your ultimate three dinner guests be?
Gosh, I definitely have Jesus there because, wow. You know, I've never thought about that ever, but right now I would definitely say my father-in-law, who has passed away, because we miss him terribly. Mm-hmm. And he's just Bill Plunkett. He was probably Mr. Mina before PT. Like, just one of the greatest men next to my father, I think, that I've ever known. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely have him back. And, oh my stars, the third person.
Everybody gets stumped on the third person. They do. Every time. Mm-hmm.
I guess I feel like I need a woman in there, right?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I don't.
We had one guest that was going to throw in Benjamin Franklin, Faith Hill. Mm-hmm. And Shania Twain. And I was like, Benjamin Franklin, his teeth would be clacking sitting at a table with Shania Twain and Faith Hill. Yeah. But everybody gets stumped on that third one.
I do not even know.
Well, we can call it two.
Two guests. You've picked Jesus and your father-in-law doing an activity. Y'all three go do an activity. What would y'all three go do?
Definitely play basketball. Yeah.
Yes. I can see Jesus shooting because, some hoops.
Listen, I know my father-in-law played basketball at Cove. I've seen pictures. Uh-huh. I mean, Jesus can do anything, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I played basketball in high school and junior college, so let's just hoop it up. Even if it's just free throws, you know, let's just shoot some free throws and visit.
I'm dying. Because this
Jesus
is the best.
Would definitely win because he wouldn't cheat and let y'all win because that would be like lying. The clear winner, Jesus.
You know, okay, I do have an answer for you. Maybe...
She's like a referee.
No, I do. I think about it because, like, talking about, I would probably have my grandparents on my mother's side back because when you're a younger child, mm-hmm. you don't appreciate your family history and mm-hmm. what they can tell you about mm-hmm. war and pilots and to listen to their stories of their family and living through the Depression. And gosh, I'll write things down and appreciate that
document
more.
Document those things.
For sure.
Okay. What's your most often used emoji?
I don't know exactly what you call it, but the one where maybe they're winking and there's a kiss, like a heart.
Right. Blowing the kiss with the...
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I know that one.
Again, the 50-year-old's coming out in me, but yes, I would say that one.
And again, she doesn't look 50.
No.
Okay. So last one. I'm not going to say if you could go back in time to when Jake was diagnosed, but it kind of, it's more like, what advice would you give someone who was in your position at that time? If you could just, you know, give them a couple sentences of support, you know, what would you say? Or what would you say to your younger self at that time, knowing what you know now?
Wow. I would definitely say, don't beat yourself up. Because I went through the blame game of, was it my fault? You know, should I have not gotten that flu shot when I was pregnant?
Did or you eat too many hot dogs while you're pregnant?
You know, did I? Don't blame yourself. For starters, and go with your gut 100% because you may not have the degrees, but you have the mom degree. You have that instinct and go with that. Just do your research. Research, research, do it because you're the only one who's going to fight for your kid. So, you know, I still look back and think I should have worked harder. I should have done more. You're always going to have, I should have done more, but just be good to yourself. Because if you're not good to yourself, you're not good for your kid. I mean, I can tell you, it's hard to do it yourself. I'm terrible at taking compliments. You know, PT says, you just degrade yourself too much. Well, yeah, I don't know, but I would say just be better to yourself.
Okay, Christy, so if we have any listeners that, you know, are experiencing this, they're going through these similar situations, are there any major resources, you know, you said do your research. What are some of your go-to resources for information?
Well, Autism Speaks, I think, is a good one. Now, there is a lot of debate on that because people either like them or hate them. I don't really care if you like them or hate them. Get over the political part of it mm-hmm. and the money part. And just, there is so much information on Autism Speaks website, Autism Society of America. But there is just oodles of information there that we didn't have back then.
Right.
So mainly just looking, what are the signs? You know, just look all those things up if your kid's not making these milestones or whatever the case may be. Autism Speaks and Autism Society of America are some big ones, I think, that you can just go to.
So, yeah, don't be afraid to seek help and seek answers. And that'd be about the best thing to do. Christy, thank you so very much for sharing your story.
I was
with
so
us.
Nervous about this, but thank you for having me. This has been fantastic.
Yeah, we strive to make it comfortable, but I knew that you had a story to tell. As I said, I've been, you know, continually impressed with you since I met you at a very young age, and I've watched, you know, how you've handled this, how you've advocated, and the awareness you have brought to MENA and Polk County, and it's extremely impressive. So we are very honored to have you as a guest, and thank you very much for taking time to visit with us.
You guys are great. I appreciate it very much.
It's time for that portion of the show we call Fast Facts with Producer Trey. So generally, during our interview, some questions come up that we don't have the exact information on at the time. We make a note of those and we have Producer Trey do some digging for us. During Christy's episode, you know, she was so very knowledgeable that really we only came up with one little question that we needed more information on. So she referenced Base of the Ouachitas, which we do know is a special needs support group located here in Polk County. But for the life of us, we couldn't remember what BASE stood for. So we asked Producer Trey to find out for us. What you got, Producer Trey?
BASE stands for Building, Accepting, Supporting, and Educating.
Okay, so Building, Accepting, Supporting, and Educating.
Nice.
I'm sure they use that acronym because everybody needs a good home base. They need a good support base. And I know that their logo has the mountains incorporated into it. Makes a lot of sense. Well, as I said, we didn't have much for Fast Facts today. We had a great visit with Christy, and she laid a lot of great information on us, and she also let people know that if they're having any questions about maybe a child that they think could have potential special needs or autism, that she's available to reach out to and visit with. And she is a terrific supporter herself. So if you need more information on autism and would like to visit with Christy, she gave her information in the podcast, but you can also contact us at thewashtawpodcast@gmail.com, and we can pass along any questions to Christy. So as always, thank you for listening to the Ouachita Chronicles. You can find us along with other great shows at thewashitapodcast.com. Make sure you find us on Facebook and Instagram and give us a like. And until next time, Ashley and Jerry,
out.
Thank you for listening to the Ouachita Chronicles.